You may not have known what you would become when you got older. For many, they thought they would become a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, or a professional athlete. The truth is, in one way or another, we will all become a disciple. And in one way or another, we will disciple others. The critical issue is, to what or to whom are we being discipled? Listen in as I share a word on discipleship, on A Word with Anthony Walker. Disciple, noun, a follower. Several times I've been asked to speak on varying topics from the epistles Paul wrote to Timothy. Almost every time my mind goes back to how I relate to Timothy. Recently, I was asked to speak from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the clause, commit these things to faithful men, specifically within the scope of discipleship. I shared a message that was 30 years in the making. As I stood before the audience, I shared that I had three mind-blowing moments that helped me in preparation for the presentation. At age 2, I lost my father to a tragic heart attack. This tragedy sent my life and my mother's life into a whirlwind. In her depression, she leaned on my grandmother to raise me. My granny, as I affectionately called her, may not have had an education past the fifth grade, but her wisdom, her biblical knowledge, and her faith would surpass some scholars. Throughout my life, she has given me the word and helped establish my faith. Additionally, my mother knew that I needed godly men in my life. She would often take me to see great men of God who preached in the area. One man caught my young attention. Dr. Charles Beeman was a dynamic young preacher that fascinated me. He was educated, biblically sound, funny, charismatic, and even a sharp dresser. I was always excited to hear him preach. Later in life, my mother remarried, and I transitioned to live with her. The church that my other grandmother was attending was about to install a new minister. That minister was Dr. Charles Beeman. Wow, how God lines things up. I now was able to hear Dr. Beeman preach every Sunday. I enjoyed his messages. They were deep enough for the scholars in the audience to dig around and yet never hit the bottom. At the same time, they were simple enough for the young in faith to partake and never drown. On one occasion, he asked if I'd like to go with him to a youth day, of which he was the keynote speaker. I was so thrilled. I get to ride in his car, I thought. Not that there was anything special about his car. It was an older used Honda. I think it was just the fact that I would get to spend time with him. Over the years, there were more opportunities like this. He would come to lunch with me at school. He would even make special time to talk with me. At age 11, I shared with Dr. Beeman that I wanted to preach. He inquired why, to which I explained that I had studied the same word that other ministers preached, and I thought that I could do the same. To which he replied, well, let's get to studying. He prepared me to preach my first sermon before I turned 12, and then he challenged me by making sure that I would be back in the pulpit within a couple of months. As I matured in the faith, he continued to be a guide, a friend, and confidant. He recognized a personality trait of mine in that I'm challenge-oriented, so he challenged me often. Here are some key lessons I remember from Dr. Beeman. He taught me that leaders are readers. He would often refer books for me to read, keenly in areas of Bible, management, and leadership. These would be skills that I would need as a minister. To this day, he often calls with 3 to 4 books I should be reading. He also challenged me to think, in particular, to critically think. He's taught me to become a life learner. The dualism in that phrase is that I need to learn from life, but also learn for the rest of my life. He would often say after an experience or an observation, there's a lesson in that. He always stressed that I need to be ready for whatever may come, be ready. Additionally, he took me around the world. As an education consultant, he was always traveling to different school districts. And thanks to him, I've been to several states attending conferences, both in education and in the church. And I've been to several countries around the world. Continuing in my maturation process for about 4 to 5 years, he put me through what I call church college. I was responsible for utilizing my talents for the body. I can sing and I'm artistic, among other talents. Therefore, he put me in the song leader rotation. I was responsible for teaching the high school and college age classes, in addition to teaching the adults in his stead if he needed to travel. I was to preach when he was absent. I was a consultant on virtually every ministry. It was a lot of work, but I enjoyed the challenge that it was preparing me for the future. At age 24, I got the call to preach for a church in Murfreesboro. The more I spoke there, the more I knew something special was happening. So I began to talk with the chief advisor on my personal advisory council, Dr. Beeman. It was so awkward. I knew I was ready to fly, and he knew I was ready to fly, but neither one of us wanted me to leave the nest. But it was time. The last Sunday I was at my home congregation, it was so full of emotion. I couldn't tell you what songs were sung or the text from which he preached. But one statement he told me that to this day still blows my mind. Anthony, what I have done for you, you must do for someone else. My mind was blown. I thought, I'm not 100% ready to preach at this church, let alone be what you have been to me for someone else. I'm not ready to take anyone around the world or teach them what he taught me and so forth. Yet, I could see what God was doing in my life. As I studied scripture, I began to see some similarities between Timothy and myself. Like Timothy, my faith foundation started in my grandmother, was passed down to my mother, and now down to me. Like Timothy, I had a spiritual father that confirmed my development in the faith. But also like Timothy, there was the point at which Paul challenges Timothy to do what he has done for him by discipling someone else. Soon after I started preaching, a family came and visited one Sunday. They were an unassuming family, a father, mother, and young child. Although I wondered who they were and what they saw in our little church, they placed membership the next Sunday. I love children of all ages, and I had a fondness for their son, Chris. Each Sunday, I'd give him a high five while talking with his parents. One Sunday, I used him as an example of a young boy from the Bible in my sermon, and he returned to his seat, but he didn't sit with his parents. He sat in the seat next to where I regularly sat for the rest of service. And the next Sunday, he sat there as well. And the following Sunday, and the following Sunday. Over the years, my friendship with Chris and his family grew. I would often go by their house and chat with his parents, but a visit wasn't complete without spending some time with Chris. Chris, knowing I was an athlete in high school, would challenge me to a race occasionally, and I would beat him bad every time. Why? Well, I wanted him to try to beat me no matter what. And I concluded that if he would ever get to the point where he could beat Mr. Anthony, then surely he could beat his friends. In short, I was trying to teach him a relentless work ethic. Although you're listening to this and you can see what God is doing, at the time, I didn't see it. Chris would invite me to have lunch with him at school. Even though I was the only adult invited, I would go to birthday parties and play along with his friends. One day, his parents called with the news that Chris wanted to be baptized. Although Chris has an amazing father, he wanted Mr. Anthony to baptize him. Even then, I didn't see what God was doing. Chris continued to grow in the faith and develop as a young Christian. He began participating in worship services and leading songs and reading scripture and praying. When he graduated in 2020, the schools didn't have their normal graduation ceremonies due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But our church had an outdoor ceremony just for our graduates. In his graduation speech, he said one lesson that he recalls in life is the fact that I would come over to his house and beat him in racing. He said he learned that with persistence and hard work, he could be successful. Although I never uttered those words to him, he got the lesson. Suddenly, my mind was blown. All this time, I had been discipling Chris just as I had been discipled. We've often heard the leadership adage that you must duplicate yourself. But discipling isn't about duplicating yourself as it is about making another disciple of Christ. A disciple learns to follow, follows to learn, but never arrives. Disciples of Christ are on a relentless journey to be more like God's Son. They learn to follow Jesus. They continue to follow Jesus because they continue to learn from him, but they never get to the point where they arrive. Paul was not trying to create another Paul. Timothy would never be Paul, but Timothy would become another disciple of Jesus. Discipleship isn't about the tutor, it's about the teaching. It isn't about the leader, it's about the lesson. It isn't about getting quickly to a destination. It's about the journey. I would never become Dr. Beeman, but I can be the best Anthony that I can be in my journey with Christ. As a challenge to my Bible class, I asked the class, "How do you know that you've made a disciple?" One of my elders gave one of the most concise responses I've ever heard to that question. You know you've made a disciple when the disciple you made makes a disciple. My mind was blown again. While I appreciate the discussion and study of discipleship, I don't want to be so focused on the tactics and strategies that I miss the opportunities before me. One friend put it this way: making a disciple isn't about adding a spot for disciple making on your schedule. It's about including them in your current schedule. Jesus didn't set out to make disciples at a certain time of the day. He would say, "Peter, James, John, come with me." Along the journey, disciples were made. I'm more intentional about disciple making in my life now than I have ever been. I often pray that God would reveal to me those whom I might miss. I ask him to reveal those around me who are faithful, available, teachable, those whom I can entrust with the things that others have poured into me. I pray that I will be diligent enough to pour it into them as well. This has been an invitation and hopefully a better understanding of disciple making. Thank you for listening to A Word with Anthony Walker.